So let's begin with the fiscal cliff, which I think most Americans are probably tired of hearing about, but I'm interested to know your solution to solving the fiscal cliff debate.
Well, I think the first thing to understand is that when your economy is growing slowly and there's a lot of people unemployed, the last thing you want to do is raise taxes and remove more money from the private sector. I tell people the best way to think about this is that if you want a business in Murray to succeed, you don't want to send more money to Washington. You want to keep more money in Murray. What I would do is I would cut spending. I mean, we just 4 years ago, we're only spending 20% of our GDP in Washington. So $1 out of $5 was spent in Washington. Since the president's come in, it's now $1 in $4. So he's increased spending dramatically. I would actually lower tax rates. I would get rid of loopholes so everybody does pay taxes. I think it's unfair if a rich person or a rich corporation pays no taxes. If you get rid of the deductions and the loopholes, they will pay taxes. But in order to stimulate the economy while getting rid of these loopholes, you have to lower rates. And I think you'd get more revenue, more jobs, and the economy would grow. You know, Reagan did this, and we had an economy that grew at 7% in 1 year. Right now, we're growing a little more than 1%, but I think with Obamacare kicking in and with these new taxes kicking in, he may well push us back into a recession.
But if you mentioned Reagan in that answer, but when you hear President Obama, he mentions tax rates associated with the Clinton era where there was a budget surplus. Explain to me how you can use Reagan and then President Obama can use Clinton as the tools for a debate.
Well, that's a good question, because if you look back at the economic history and taxing history, there are arguments on both sides. For example, in the 1920s, we lowered rates, we got more revenue, and the rich paid a higher percentage of it. We did it again in the 60s under Kennedy, in the 80s under Reagan, and even most recently, when President Bush lowered the rates in 2003, he allowed poor people not to pay any taxes, so he did get poor people off of the rolls. He lowered tax rates for rich people, but interestingly, tax revenue went up, and the percentage of the taxes paid by rich people actually went up also. Now, under Clinton, they did raise tax rates and they got more revenue. The difference was we were in the middle of what was an economic boom. It was called the dot-com boom or the dot-com bubble. Some people describe it as, you know, the internet beginning its commercialization. So there was a huge amount of increased productivity and new wealth being created by the internet. During the midst of all that, he raised taxes and it did work. But the problem is that this was in the middle of a huge economic boom. We're not in the middle of a boom right now. We're in the middle of one of the worst recessions since the Great Depression. And so I don't think there's a lot of extra wealth out there that he can soak up into government coffers and not affect the economy. I'm afraid that it makes it worse.
If the Bush tax cuts do expire for everyone, could you give me a comparison of another Western country that has the same rates?
You know, it would be hard to because there are so many different rates, but I would say that in many ways we are uncompetitive with the world. For example, right now, even with the current tax structure, not the tax rates going up, our corporate income tax is 35% and Canada's is 15%. So if you're going to open a company or start a new company and do a startup, and you had the choice of Canada or the U.S., there's no question people would choose Canada right now. Same with Europe. Most of Europe, even though they're more socialized than we are, most of Europe has a corporate income tax in the low 20s. So really, I think we are not competitive currently because our tax rates are too high. I can also tell you that in England last year, they raised tax rates on millionaires, and guess what? They went from 16,000 millionaires to 6,000. People either move or changed their way that they took their income for their income to drop. But revenue went down when they raised taxes on millionaires 2 years ago in England, and England is actually contemplating lowering the rates again because it backfired on them. So I think we should think this thing through. We should also think through that the way you get more tax revenue is you have to have the economy growing. You have to get more jobs. You have to have more people paying taxes. But it's what we should all want. And I still think the president's just dead wrong in his analysis.
Tell me, would you rather go over the fiscal cliff than find a solution?
I personally would much rather see a solution. And I think there are some compromises. For example, if we looked at spending, Republicans have often said, oh, we won't cut any military spending. And Democrats often say, well, we won't reform the entitlements. And so I would say the compromise is Republicans, myself included, who think national defense is important, we have to admit that not every dollar spent on the military is wisely spent and that there could be savings in military spending. Likewise, Democrats have to admit that not all spending for entitlement spending is wisely spent, that not everybody who claims that they are, have a backache and can't work, not all of those are legitimate claims. And so I think there is room for reforming and reducing spending on both sides of the ledger. The other thing we could do is if we say, well, we want the rich to bear more of this burden, we could look at entitlements, which are short of money. Social Security is $6 trillion short. Medicare is $35 trillion short. We could say to rich people, you know what? We're just going to ask you to take less in benefits. And I'm all for that. Means testing of Social Security, if you're a wealthy person, we say, look, you're going to get a little bit less Social Security. Same way with Medicare. When you pay Medicare taxes, for every dollar in tax you pay during your working career, you're going to take $3 in benefits. That's true of everybody. But I'm okay with saying to the rich, so they have to, because they can better absorb these entitlement changes, that the rich need to pay the full price for their Medicare. And that way, the poorer folks in our country who depend on these social programs wouldn't be affected.
But what would the rich people still pay into Social Security and then not receive it?
No, I think what they'd do is, they all would pay in. And so what would happen is we have a plan for Social Security. And if you made over a certain amount, like if you're a maximum wage earner, which is above $105,000 a year, you would get $300 less in Social Security, which you would still get Social Security. But maybe $2,200 a month is what you would get normally. You'd get $1,900. So just by doing that, not eliminating it for rich people, but reducing it a significant percentage for rich people, you would be able to save Social Security. Medicare is more difficult, but means testing helps. So for example, right now, everybody pays a dollar for $3 worth of benefits. You would just tell the people through means testing that richer folks for their Medicare would have higher premiums per month and higher deductibles. And there are ways to make Medicare more of a sound system and Social Security, and you could include means testing, which accepts some of what the Democrats are saying. They want the rich to bear more of the burden. I'm perfectly willing to accept it on the entitlement front.
So if you did get reform in spending for the military and there was a reform in entitlements, but then the key to making this compromise work would be raising taxes on a portion of the rich, whether it's $250,000 or more, $400,000 or more, or folks who make $1 million or more, would you vote for something that would increase taxes or let the Bush tax credits expire for a certain level of income if you did get the entitlement reform and the military spending reform?
Well, see, I think those are what I've mentioned, the military spending as well as entitlement reforms, those are compromises, and I think that's more than enough compromise. It's hard for me to compromise on logic. It's hard for me to compromise and say, well, let's raise tax rates, because I think you'll get the opposite result. If your goal is to get more revenue for government, I think if you raise tax rates on the rich, you will get the opposite result. I fully believe that with every fiber of my body, and so I just can't go against common sense and say, oh, let's raise tax rates thinking we'll get more revenue. I think you'll slow the economy down. I think you'll have more people out of work, and I think it'll do exactly the opposite of what the president wants. So I can't vote to raise taxes on anybody in the midst of this recession.
But if it comes down to the wire and the only option is a partial tax increase or letting the Bush-era tax credits expire for a portion of earners or go over the fiscal cliff and allow taxes to increase on everyone, what would you do?
Well, it depends on exactly what bill comes up. If the only bill I'm allowed to vote on is protecting the tax rates for a percentage of the people, I think that that's something I will support. I don't support it as a tactical way to go about this because I think all of the tax rates should be protected. We've had these for 10 years. It's going to be a massive tax increase and money taken from the private economy, and it'll be harmful. So I'm opposed to doing it. What the exact package that comes up, I'm not sure because I don't know exactly what's going to come up.
And let's talk about the political theater associated with the debt ceiling debate, because I think it's interesting, and I think that most constituents are probably frustrated with what they hear coming out of Washington, especially associated with this debate with the fiscal cliff. How much of this debate is ego-oriented versus principle?
You know, I would say that we have people who believe different things. I think that the president truly believes he'll bring in more revenue by raising taxes on rich people, and I sincerely believe the opposite. I think he'll bring in less revenue. So I don't doubt sincerity. Are there people who posture and do things for partisan reasons? I think there are, but I think the one thing that people in Kentucky should know about me is that I've sided with Democrats many times. I think we should end the war in Afghanistan. I think we should quit putting kids in jail for 20 years for marijuana. I think that we should legalize hemp. These are all issues I've worked with the Democrats on. I've worked with Governor Beshear on getting us a waiver to No Child Left Behind. So there are a lot of issues that I've worked with the other side on because I believe, you know, in these issues. And so I would say there is some empty partisanship up here, but my true goal is to work for what I believe in, what I think I was elected to do, and that often involves me working with the other party.
Senator Rand Paul from Kentucky, thank you very much for your time.
All right, enjoyed it. Thank you.